Have you ever experienced a time in your life that made you feel so ashamed that you found yourself actively avoiding people or situations to hide it? I understand because I lived that way for many years. For decades, I bore the heavy burden of abandonment, defining my self-worth around the narrative of a wounded child. Over time, I reframed my story from one of shame to one of tenacity and courage. At Storyteller, we believe that every woman's story is a journey of resilience, a wellspring of insightful wisdom, and an endless source of inspiration. Each episode features remarkable women from all walks of life, each with their own unique and powerful narrative. We'll explore their triumphs, their challenges, and the invaluable lessons they've learned along the way. Whether you're looking for a dose of motivation, a heartfelt connection, or simply a moment of reflection, Storyteller is here to be your companion on this extraordinary journey. So grab your favorite beverage, cozy up on our virtual couch, and let's embark with a deep connecting conversation with your new best friend. I'm your host, Deborah Keevan, and this is the Storyteller Podcast. Today, our guest on Storyteller is Deandra Ford Wing, who is a passionate storyteller and dynamic sales director who discovered the healing power of writing during a period of profound grief. Growing up as an Army brat, Deandra's formative years were spent in culturally diverse settings, including Germany, which shaped her unique narrative style. After the loss of her mother, Sandra, Deandra embarked on a transformative journey that inspired her debut memoir, Red Bird. Through this work, she shares her personal reflections on love, loss, and resilience, hoping to inspire others who are facing life's trials. Deandra lives with her husband, Ben, and their two cherished doodles, Coco and Shusha. When not writing, she enjoys the simple joys of life and continues to explore storytelling as a path to connection and healing. Welcome to Storyteller, Deandra.
Thank you for having me, Deborah. I really appreciate it.
I've been so looking forward to our conversation. To get us started, let's just jump right in. And I'd love to know what's one story that you told yourself that kept you stuck. And then how would you reframe that story?
Actually, it was this one, because I initially started writing Red Bird. It was just meant to be a journal entry. Mm-hmm. And then it just continued on. And I was like, wait a minute. I think what I'm going to do is make this a semi-novella type of thing, because it's a small book in stature. But the information and the story itself, it lended itself to actually being more than just a journal entry. And I was trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do with this? Am I going to use it? Am I going to put it out into the world? And I struggled with that for a long time, because I told a lot of deeply buried family secrets, if you will.
Sure.
And I didn't want to expose the antagonists in the story, but I said, you know what? This is my story. And this is my perspective. So I just went with it.
I think it takes profound courage to Yes. sit with a story that you know is begging to be told and shared. And I think it all comes down to your intention. And your intention Yeah. wasn't to hurt people.
No.
It was really to help heal the wounds and the sorrow within yourself, but also shine a light for that path for others.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And there's something to be said for your truth as a writer, your voice as a writer. And I grappled with keeping certain things out of it, but in the end, I did not, because it wouldn't be the story that it is. And it Sure. wouldn't be my story if I had chosen to edit it out, all the things that could have shown not a so good light on others around me.
Sure.
But I came to grips with it and was just like, this is going to be told. And I can only do it, only me. So that's how I looked at it.
I love that. I always say to women that I support writing their memoirs is, this is your truth. It's not the truth. It's your truth. And
amen.
And it goes again back to, what is your ultimate goal? If your ultimate goal is revenge, then don't write the memoir, write the journal entry, right? Get it out. Don't let it sit inside you and fester. But if your intention is pure, then I say, write everything that happened from your perspective.
Yeah. And that's what I did. It was an arduous task, but one that I feel that I respected enough to really sit with what that looked like in the end. And I think that I didn't do anybody a disservice by telling my truth. And I really, really hope that whomever reads Red Bird finds some solace in the loss and some reprieve from the grief.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And it helps people on their own grieving journey to see that you can come out on the other side. And it's not like grief goes away. It's like we grow around it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's like a tree that's been planted and you're just having to work around it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. 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 So all this effort to go into this memoir writing, talk to me a little bit about your writing process. How did you take this journal entry that was like tap, tap, tapping and saying, I need to be more, let me breathe. What was your process?
Well, the neat thing about my writing process is that it was shaped by my mom, because she was an educator. She taught English for, oh my God, like 30, 40 years. And she taught me how to diagram a story, not even so much a sentence, but a story. Mm-hmm. Like, you take your character, you figure out what their arc is, who's the antagonist, who's the protagonist in this, and what are you seeking for each of these characters to deliver? So I really, it was weird, because when you're writing something that's true to life, you don't think of the people in the book as characters, but really and truly, you have to give them that respect. And I literally sat down and was like, okay, I know I'm going to start talking about my Aunt Shawn, who starts out the book. We discover what happened with her. And then after that, I was like, okay, what do I talk about next? Oh, mom. So I just took everything I knew about my mother and I made it into like a character, but it was really true to life, true to form, who she was and what the things that she taught me, how they resonated with me. That was the easy part. Now, when it comes to putting like the other supporting characters in the book inside of the story, that was a little different, because like I said, I did not want to focus on the negativity, and these people in my life were a negative force. So I ended up making them, I talked about them, but I didn't dig into their character arc as much as I did with my mom and my Aunt Shawn, and later on myself.
Yeah.
So that was the difficult part, having to really assign how I was going to handle all of the ancillary characters in the book as well. But really and truly, diagramming is where it's at.
I think that you've hit upon something that is so brilliant, and that is treating your memoir as though it were fiction, and using those levels of fiction, because one, it allows you to give some distance.
It does. It did.
And when you create them as characters, you can see their full personality. It's not just two-dimensional. You can see the light and the dark, because we all have it. And then what I also love is the ancillary characters who were the negatives in the story, you didn't give them enough airspace.
Yes.
You mentioned them. You didn't ignore them. You didn't ignore what they did or how they acted, but you didn't go as deep, and you didn't give them
life.
The light of the day, really. Mm-hmm. And so that's such an effective way of doing a memoir, because it helps create distance while you're writing about your own experience. It also allows you as the author to create a well-rounded character and look at those arcs. Where did they come from? Why did they behave a certain way? What would And I love taking those and putting them in other situations to see how they would
Yes.
behave, which
Yes.
is really
That's a good
interesting.
point. Yeah, that's a good point. I really, really had a, I don't want to say a good time, but it was just, you're right, the distance that the two-dimensional way that I talked about them really, really aided me in keeping my distance because I didn't want to dig too deep. I didn't want to give them too much light. And but they were a part of the story. So I had to figure out a way to weave them in without being really committed to that particular character.
Well, the other beauty of that is that it doesn't require you to, they weren't the focus of the book.
Right.
They were part of your journey and part of your story. So to ignore
Yeah.
them actually would give them more impetus, more power than they deserved.
Yes.
And I think it was really smart and really wise of you to make those very conscious choices. And those of you who are listening and you're thinking about writing your memoir, these are such powerful tools and
Yes.
tips that Deandra is sharing. So you've written your book, you've given yourself the distance, you publish it. What
Yeah.
was the reaction?
I laugh because after my mom's memorial, this was basically the last time I had laid eyes on one of the aunts in the book. She was the only one that came to the memorial. Her other two sisters, my mom's other two sisters, elected not to come. One went on a cruise to go party, and the other one was in the state of Texas in a town 30 minutes over visiting the other sister who showed up to the memorial but did not come as well. So honestly, I was rubbed raw by that,
Sure.
and it's something that still is a thorn in my side today, but I have got to let that go. I really have to let that go because it's something that if I let it, it would consume me. And I don't want to live in a space of having hate or having animosity in my heart. And when I wrote the book, I didn't receive a response because guess what? I'm not talking to these people. They are merely in my rearview mirror at this point of my life. And I'm pretty sure that they've read it because I've posted countless stories and images on Instagram. And I talked about it even on a professional platform like LinkedIn, who a couple of my family members are on. So I'm pretty sure that they know that this book exists. And if not, they probably have read it. I don't know. I don't know.
I would say they probably haven't read it because they don't want to know the truth, right? And they might be afraid. And so
You might be right.
I would say you hit on a couple really important things, and I'd like to just it may I offer some
Yes.
insight.
Yes.
When people don't show up for us or for our family members the way that we would show up because of who we are,
Yeah.
it really says nothing about you or your mom. It says everything about them. And so maybe having that understanding will
Yeah.
allow you to let that those thorns go because it has nothing to do with you.
And I know that. And I know it has nothing to do with the wonderful person that my mom was. And even still, I hearken back to just the feeling of being disappointed in them and in the situation. And the lack of respect really screamed loudly to me, and it still does. And you're right, you have to let that be on them. It can't be something that you take on because it wasn't your choice, it wasn't your decision, and it has no bearing on the wonderful person that I know that my mom was to them and
Absolutely.
to me and to everybody she touched.
Thank you for that.
Of course.
Your story matters. At Highlander Press, we specialize in turning your ideas into impactful books that inspire, heal, and elevate. Whether you're writing to share your truth, grow your business, or leave a legacy, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Because let's face it, it's more than about a book. It's your voice, your heart, your impact. Highlander Press, elevating women's voices, one story at a time. Let's make an impact together. Visit us at highlanderpressbooks.com to start your journey today. I would also say this is really an important aspect of writing a memoir is writing your truth with pure intention and then putting it out there and then not worrying about who reads it and who doesn't. And I think you even saying, I don't know, that's actually, I would say, in my experience, people who have behaved badly don't want to read about themselves.
No.
And so they'll avoid it. They avoided coming to your mom's memorial service. They'll avoid reading anything that could potentially put them in a bad light.
Yeah.
So I think that's just a really important thing for anybody out there who's also writing a memoir. Because I get that question a lot. Well, what if so-and-so reads it? I'm like, they might.
So
let them have their experience. Let them, let them recognize or not, because they may not have the capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And let it go.
Yeah.
It's
that's what
truth.
I'm having to slowly do. I've been letting it go. I've been shedding the weight of just thinking about other people like that. I'm really getting to a place where I no longer give a crap. Like, seriously, I don't care.
Good. So you've put the book out there. How does it feel to be an author? How does it feel to have gone through that process and come out on the other side and know that your book is making a difference?
I never thought about it like that, Deborah. I knew that I wanted for it to be out there, yes, but I didn't think about how it would make me feel. I feel so good. I feel accomplished. I feel like I've done the thing, the one thing that I never thought I would ever do. And here it is. And so it is. And I feel like that has only given me the strength, given me the resolve to do more, to do more with the work and figure out, is this something I want to continue to do? And the answer is yes. And then also, how will I continue on? Do I make a second edition of Redbird and be more verbose and really dig into the characters in that story? Or do I have a sequel? And do I talk about the now after all of the hits came and after the alarming blows that I experienced by losing these two wonderful people that I love very, very much? Yeah. And I don't know what the answer is yet, but I know that I will go on and I will continue on this path because it's just brought me so much peace and so much joy, even though the subject matter is that is such that you wouldn't think that the word joy would come out of losing so many important people. But I just feel like I've been given a second chance at life because I have a purpose. Not that I didn't have a purpose before because I have this huge career and I have all these things going on, but this is just the icing. This is just the icing on the cake.
I love that. And I think from my perspective where I'm sitting, when we work our way through grief, especially in writing, I'm a big fan of getting it out and onto the page, regardless of whether you publish it or it's just in your own journal. Just don't let it sit inside. And work your way through it and acknowledge there can be a lightness. There can be joy because then you're not carrying the stones. You're carrying the happy memories. You're carrying the gifts that those people and their role in your life played.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows that to shine through more as time goes on, especially as
we go
through grief.
Yeah,
I think that that's really powerful. So thank you for sharing that. I do hope that you write another, maybe not revisit Redbird, but write where you are now and what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's the angle I'm going to take because I've really been sitting with it And I've put in pen to paper, I've put pen to paper, and I've noticed that what is evolving is not a revisitation of Red Bird. It's something bigger, it's something brighter, and it's not as heavy. So I really hope that where I'm going with this new iteration of Red Bird or new iteration of something new, I think it'll be enigmatic for me. It'll be something that really sets my work apart from others. And I just really want to see that come to life. I really do.
I could see you. So there's a Native American saying that I think is really apropos here, and it's
Okay.
that you can't step into the same stream twice.
Ooh, that is good.
And I think Red Bird was at the time the story that needed to be told, and this
Yeah.
new story is a continuation or a where you are today. You're in a new stream, you're in a new place,
Yeah.
and it feels very natural that that would be a continuation in it. And almost then you can coach other people through this process.
Yeah. I didn't think of it that way, but that is really enlightening. You don't mind if I write that down,
I
do you?
do not mind if you write
Okay.
it. It's not mine. I love, because when I think about, do I want to do something or not do something, or I'll say, well, may I can do that later. It's like I literally can't step into the same stream twice. Is this the time to do that? Because this is the
Ooh.
opportunity, or is this, am I okay with letting this stream continue and I'll step in at a different point for a different experience?
Absolutely, absolutely. That gives me food for thought, for sure.
Yeah. So, Deandra, if somebody wants to get your book, where is your book available, and how can people connect with you if they chose to do
Yeah.
so?
So of course I'm on socials. I'm not on Facebook. I never have been. It just wasn't my thing, but I am very active on Instagram, and my handle is just my entire name, Deandra Ford Wing, and nothing special, not crazy girl, nothing crazy.
You're
But
just you as you. I love it.
I also have a website where people can take a look at my work and then also see what I'm doing next. And that's going to be booksbydeandra.com. Very simple. And then, of course, you can find me on LinkedIn, the same exact handle, Deandra Ford Wing. Yeah. So those are the top three places where you can find me.
Wonderful. Is your book available widely? Where can people
Yes,
purchase
it's
your book?
everywhere. I forgot, didn't answer that. They can purchase it on Amazon, of course, and then bookpeople.com and then barnesandnoble.com. They can also look on Ingram Spark for my fellow writers out there who know what Ingram Spark is. You can find my IBSN on there as well. So there's a lot of different avenues in which to find a book by me.
Oh, wonderful. So what we'll do, make sure we'll put all of your links
Yes.
in the show notes. And if it's okay with you, we have a bookshop
Ooh.
that for all of our guests, for their books or books that they recommend, I have a bookshop that benefits a local woman-owned bookstore.
I
So it
love
operates
that.
like Amazon, but all the sales flow through
Love
that
that.
bookstore. So if with your permission, I'll put your ISBN on that.
Permission
So
granted,
yeah, we'll
my
make sure and
dear.
put that in out there as well. And that
Yes.
those sales flow through Ingram Spark. So it
Yeah.
just, but it benefits a local independent woman-owned bookstore. And I just love being able to do that. So
I think that's fantastic. Just pay it forward.
yeah,
Yes.
exactly.
Yes.
Deandra, I am so grateful for our time together today.
Me
Thank you for
too.
being here.
Thank you, Deborah.
Before we wrap up, I'd love to know, what's a book that you feel like everyone should read at least once in their lifetime, and
Oh.
then why that book is something you recommend?
Oh my God. Okay, this, oh my God, I'm going to age myself, but that's okay. I think I know that my favorite book is The Color Purple by Alice Walker. I've read it like 20 times, if not more. I've seen the movie 50 plus times. I just, whenever I see it, because I have a copy of it and I'm just not paying attention, I'll pick it up and read it again. Like, I don't care. If the movie is on, I will watch it. I don't care where it is in the movie, what point, I will come in and finish the rest of it. But that book so inspired me, so inspired me. It was the way that Alice Miss Walker, she created these characters, and they had such huge stories, every single
Yes.
one of them, every single one of them, from the antagonist, Mister, to Seeley, to her story, Miss Shug. I mean, there's just so many great characters in that story. Even the ones who were coming in and out a little bit here and there throughout the book, they even had great character arcs.
Right.
Like, it was just a fantastic, fantastically built book. Like, it is the prototype for every fiction piece of work I've ever seen. It is just a beautiful, beautiful story.
I love that. I love that book as well. And I think it's
Yeah.
really interesting just even how she named the characters,
I
like not
know.
giving Mister a real
I
name. Just
know.
called him
Isn't that
Mister. Yeah.
awesome?
It's
Like,
those
you.
subtle little things. It's like, oh.
Why did she call him Mister? Like, it was just, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was such a genius book. A
It was
genius.
like the book Beloved by Toni Morrison
Toni
is that book for
Morrison.
me.
There's another one by Toni Morrison that, if you don't mind,
Do not mind.
The Bluest Eye.
Yes.
Girl,
Yes.
come on.
Right? It gets chills even talking about it.
Me too. I read that when I was 13.
Oh my gosh.
I know it is so good. I'm sorry, but I was too young to be reading it, but it really, really was the best book. I
Yeah.
just can't.
Yeah. And
Oh.
what I love about these stories and I read a couple of things. I'll pick them up pretty much every year.
Yeah.
And again, you can't step into the same stream twice. I always find something new or interesting
Yeah.
or that I missed before. And it
I
doesn't matter
know.
whether I've read it 10 times or 25 times, I'm always discovering something.
Yes.
I
And that's
love
the
that.
joy about picking up a book. You can just use your imagination
Yes. Well, that's the.
just reading the words is not enough. You have to be in it.
Yes.
And that's the one joy that I find from reading books. I love it so much.
Well, and that's a really important point that you bring up as a writer, and you know this, I'm sure, at being an avid reader as well, that
Yeah.
there's a contract between the author and the
The
reader.
reader.
And if we spoon feed everything, we actually deprive the reader of that experience
Yes.
of creating that in their mind.
Yeah.
And so when something is done really well, like you mentioned The Color Purple or The Bluest Eye or even Beloved, we create in our minds. So it's a marriage between the author and the reader to
Yes, it
create that
is.
world.
Yeah.
And the best authors allow that to happen. And I don't know about you, but I loved the book Color Purple so much.
Yeah.
And I loved the movie
Me
because the
too.
movie really captured in my what I was picturing in my mind.
Mine too.
Yeah. And
When I
look at us, we're
saw,
different generations, different everything. Yeah.
like, the house that they lived in, I could see it. And then when I saw the movie, I was like, yep, that's it.
Yep. And that
That's it.
little nightclub and all where all
The
the
jib
stuff goes
joint.
down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Herpo's jib joint. Yes.
Yep.
I mean, that was, yes, how it was in the movie is exactly the way that I pictured it in the book
Yeah.
while reading it. So,
Yeah.
yeah, you've got to have an imagination when you read. And I think that that brings it out of people. Books
Yes.
seek to do that. And that's why I love them, because you can incorporate whatever your mind sees.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I will make sure to put those books up also up on
Yes.
the bookshop so that
Do it.
readers, listeners can go there and support Snug Books, which is a local store here. I just want to say thank you. It has been a joy to talk with you this morning.
Likewise. Thank you, Deborah. This was
Well,
so refreshing. Thank you for asking such great questions.
thank you for having such great answers.
Breaking team.
Yes, we are. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Story Tell Her, where we're elevating women's voices one story at a time. Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow the show, leave us a rating and review, and share us with your friends. To learn more about how I can help you overcome your fears and tell your story, please visit my website at deborahkeevan.com.